Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude.
This is pretty lavish.
What's that?
This is pretty lavish. I mean, we might have to change the intro.
It's more lavish.
It's more. Well, it's more technically astute.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So should we add technically astute?
I'll never remember that.
So what do we do to get lavish? Do we need like velvet?
Yes.
Walls we need like suede chairs.
Fancy pillows and
hookahs. Yeah, right.
2023
couches you don't want to sit on because they may look nice but they're right. Uncomfortable as
like the living room in the suburbs.
That's exactly it.
Did our house had because we were fancy. We had a living room and a family room.
Yes.
And so you could go in the family room,
right,
but you could not go in the living room.
The living room was really like for like gatherings.
Display.
Yeah.
If the living room came over, for living.
And the living room was atrocious at our house. Like my dad had gotten on some kick where he was going to be fancy, and so he hired a legit interior designer to come in and lay out the living room.
Oh wow.
Mm-hmm. And it had red carpet.
Ooh.
Yeah, which I'm like, is this going to be a brothel, Dad?
They'd have one of those big like round couches.
Right. Yeah,
yeah, right.
I was like, now I'm looking back and I'm like, oh, were my parents having key parties? What is happening?
Maybe they were.
But it was like a red carpet with this like yellow floral couch.
Oh my God. You know what? And sounds pretty lavish.
And then, it is very lavish.
And then we had like the stereo in there was like one of those. I mean, because it's the 70s,
yeah,
right?
Because
I'm like older than you guys. So it would have been like the mid 70s. So it was where like the stereo console where it's
giant
piece of furniture.
For sure.
With like you open up the lid and there's a record player in there and slots to hold the albums and I mean, it was probably every bit of 6 feet long.
Oh,
yeah. And
oh, my dad, we had one of those for sure.
And, my grandma has one too.
And then we had all these like little like figurines of birds.
Oh,
I don't know what that was about.
Okay,
it was so weird.
Okay,
but we never went in there. We never went in there. Hmm. Like, here's how seldom we went in there. So when we got a dog, right? My dad wouldn't let the dog go back in other parts of the house. So the dog could stay like in the kitchen and the family room but it couldn't go in the living room and it couldn't go back where the bedrooms were.
Right.
And so like the dog would like literally he would stop like right at those perimeters. Like
he knew.
Okay. You know? And so then we found out one day, because we never went in the living room, right? We went in the living room for something, probably to put up the Christmas tree or something.
it's the only time. Yep.
And
yep.
The dog had been pissing and in the living room for apparently months.
Oh my God.
Wow.
But like it was like we never went in there. I don't know how we didn't smell it. But like, I mean, some of the poops were like shriveled up and dry. Like, that's how long it had been going on for.
That's how raisins are made.
That dog died not long after that.
Yeah. And so.
No, that's very much the same. My grandparents had a front room that none of us went into unless it was like all of the family was there and it was Christmas time. That's right. The only time.
Yeah. Business in the front and parties in the back. Right.
It's right. The same. Like, that's we put right. the Christmas tree yep. in the living room, which was dumb because it was like, and then we just never saw the Christmas tree again. Right? Like, it was like we would go in there on Christmas to open the presents.
Sure. Sure.
And then we'd immediately bring all the presents into the family room so we could enjoy that.
I picture like a massive bouncer with like the velvet rope.
Yeah.
And being like, nope, you're not on the list. You're not on the list. You've got to go.
Yeah. Anyway, what prompted all that is we have new microphones.
Yeah.
And headphones.
That's right.
So
if you can't hear us, it's because we have no idea how to use them.
So theoretically, our audio should sound much better.
Should.
Not that it
I don't
was
know
ever...
how much better it can sound.
Yeah, because it sounded good. It just, these are the mics that we've been using in the clip out. We just got more.
Since the clip out took over our show for 2 weeks, that's not the least they could do. They got a 2 week advertisement.
That's right. That was great. And well, for real spoilers of the clip out.
Well, I don't know. Did you guys share it? Did we get
Crystal.
Any clip out listeners?
I'm not entrusted with the clip out social handles.
Fair.
Like, that's.
Oh, no. Myash, could you imagine? Chicken tenders joke.
Yes.
Chicken tender joke.
Let's do it.
Yes. So, but yeah, so we have new microphones, which are.
Oh, and we have to say what show this is because I didn't let you get past the Lavish Studios.
Real spoilers, episode 720, Pinocchio.
Pinocchio.
Oh, I thought it was a Tony Hawk episode.
Sign me up. That'd be great.
Why is that? Does he do something with 720?
720 is a 2 360s.
His big move is the 900 is his signature move.
I know, but you know, if he doesn't hit it, it's only a 720.
It's true.
So.
It is.
No idea what you're saying right now.
You know,
he
spins
like
in the air.
Snowboarding, skateboarding, they
like
all do.
Like a pirouette.
Just like a pirouette.
There you
that's
go.
Exactly okay. it.
Yeah.
I saw him hit a 900.
Really?
Like one time.
Yeah.
And I was in like, real life?
I feel like, so they used to do, like, it was him and Dave Mira and.
Oh, rest in peace.
Matt Hoffman. Like, they had like a touring. You
is
know,
Hoffman still around?
I think so.
Okay.
Like an extreme sports.
It was like the Tony Hawk Boom Boom Huck Jam or something like that.
Oh,
it had a dumb name.
It did. But they came to St. Louis, and I'm almost positive either he hit the 900 or Matt Hoffman did.
Okay.
His version of the night on a bike, which is also just insane. Like to watch that guy on a bike jump off a ramp and like just flip backwards. I was like, you're going to die.
It was the 90s, man. Everything was extreme.
Rollerblading was like the.
You got to watch. I think I've mentioned on the show before, but there's a documentary about the Tony Hawk video games.
Oh.
And, you know, those things have made hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars. Like Tony Hawk.
For just Tony Hawk.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
He told the story. What was on a podcast or something one time?
Yeah.
And he said, like, hey, like, how much do you make from those games? And he goes, oh, well, I went to this lunch or whatever. And they were talking about doing the next game. And they hand me a check. And I look at it and it's like $12 million.
It's because I guess what had happened is the first game went into like PlayStation's greatest hits.
Oh yeah, like Platinum Collection or whatever.
So it was only like $20.
Mm-hmm.
So people would just buy that game, and it was just the amount of volume that those first two games for sure.
Yeah,
I'm not so sure about the third.
So
one,
he like hit some number that he like this is an addition to him already making millions or whatever he made, and they're like, oh, yeah, here's your royalties, like $12 million is a check. Like, and he's, and then the whoever it was like, you would just walk into Bank of America with a $12 million. He's like, yeah,
yeah.
It's the amount of money.
It's all
he's
wire
made.
Transfers at that point,
probably
one would think.
But the amount of money he's made off that. I don't know what the first two for sure. The ones after
first
that,
two are the best.
Yes.
I mean, the first two. There's some other
they
good
have
ones, but
Spider-Man in the second game.
I will
it's
tell
pretty
you,
great.
I couldn't tell you how many people like around our age, their musical taste was informed by the Tony Hawk games.
I definitely found
those,
CKY
because
of that of that game.
That first one though with all the wasn't like Rage Against the Machine and
I feel like the second
Goldfinger.
Oh yeah, Goldfinger.
All
for
those.
Sure.
It was like they had such great soundtracks on these games. Like seriously,
two is
music,
the best. Two is the best soundtrack.
The gameplay was awesome, but the music soundtrack they got for these games is part of why it became so big. And
you didn't have real bands on video games.
No,
right.
It was
right?
Super rare.
It was always like stuff you've never heard of, and you're like, well, this is lame.
This was PlayStation 1, the original.
Yeah.
And it had all these great songs, and the second one had really good stuff, too.
Oh,
the
second one's the best.
Yeah, it's awesome. But anyway, it's a great documentary, and that one I think is called like Being Superman or something, because you know there's that song in the game that's like
Superman.
Yes,
yeah, by Goldfinger.
By Goldfinger, yeah.
But is it that? Okay, there's a couple. I couldn't remember which one it was, but yeah. So it's like Becoming Superman or whatever, and it's about the video game. And then he has another documentary recently, which is about skateboarding.
The second doc I think is fantastic. Yeah. That second doc, I think it's on HBO.
Yeah, they're both.
Don't watch the reboot, which is Becoming Man of Steel.
Oh,
it's not as good.
What about Becoming Black Adam?
Yeah.
Oh boy,
even worse.
Even worse.
Might be a reboot soon.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I actually just rewatched Shazam, and I didn't. The Rock and Danny Garcia are executive producers on that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, and I didn't notice it because, like, you know, you're mutzing around or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the credits pop up, and I was like, oh.
So he's been planting the seed.
For, I mean, and then what's that, 4 years ago?
At least.
Yeah.
Huh.
So he's, I mean, he's been around that character since the
beginning. I know he's been planting it for like 15 years,
yeah,
but
right.
I didn't realize he had a part in Shazam.
Yeah.
Wow. He was
he and Danny Garcia, that's his ex-wife, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
His manager.
Yeah. Were executive producers on Shazam.
There you go.
Speaking of taking 15 years,
yes.
Pinocchio.
Yes.
Well, he hasn't even done
it. Yeah.
Perhaps we could go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, although nobody uses that.
I use Google Podcasts.
You do you really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How is it?
People on Android. Yeah, it's good. It's really
I don't know. I use Podcast Addict. I'm Android, but I don't use
it. You can add custom feeds and everything, like Patreon feeds and all that. Yeah, it's really good.
I use the Apple.
I just know whenever I see the numbers for the clip out, whenever I get the Google Podcast numbers, I mean, they are practically non-existent.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so I'm just like, who's using this?
It's me.
Yeah,
it's...
What's that?
It's me.
It's you.
Well, I'm subscribed to the clip out on Google Podcasts. So.
It's me.
So now those numbers mean even less.
Great.
So you can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. The group is called the League of Show Sharers because we're hoping you will share an episode. It's the easiest, cheapest thing you can do to help the show. People who were kind enough to share an episode over the last, I guess, 3 weeks at this point include Ralph Tribble, Gabriel Lugo, Lane Levanway, Chris Valls, Tammy Lynn Powers Betts, Chris Sanders, Glenn Cougar, Melon Brewer, Travis Tewitt, Julianne Jordan, Josh Rosen, Christopher Rex, Heather Sachs, Chris Magic Man, Dissect That Film, Rick Ives, Librarian Cynthia, Brent Smith, David Rojas, Geek to Me Radio, Ronnie Castle, Spoiler Piece Theater, Invasion of the Remake, Ryan L. Terry, Binge Movies, Matt Naglia, Mike and Oscar, In Session Film, Dan and Nancy Tweet the Movies.
Hey now.
Chris Williams. I hate the couples that have a podcast.
That's the worst.
The worst. Chris Williams, Vertigay 314, Evan McKenzie, James Install, Colby Mack, Feel and Film, Kevin Brackett.
Thank you.
He was sitting here the whole time stewing.
Oh, man.
Like, is he going to say my name? Mice Ears and Batman Rye Guy. You'll notice Joe Battisti's name.
Maybe
is
you should recheck that list.
Did you share it like right now as I was talking?
I shared it before I walked
in. Yeah, there's a cutoff time, sir. Yeah.
I meant to share it and I forgot, but I did today.
A likely story.
Hard. I mean, how do we expect our fine listeners to share the show when even the people that do the show don't share it?
It's a fair point.
Yeah,
it's a fair point.
I share it twice every week.
Do you really?
Well, I got I
once
run
is
all
the real.
Oh yeah, that's fair. Yeah, yeah, right, right.
Yeah. Now, don't you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
moving the goalpost back.
Don't take out one of your ribs just yet. You know what I'm saying? So where was I at? Oh, yeah. We also have a Patreon. Patreon.com/realspoilers. We're for $5 a month. You get all sorts of bonus content. Way more Matt Basler than anyone could possibly need.
That's the best.
And
I believe that's Matt F. Basler's Real Spoilers Patreon podcast.
it's just slowly becoming that.
Yeah. On general principle, I refuse to say the F. Won't do it.
It's fair.
Yeah, I don't work for you.
You're an adult.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do what you want. Yeah. But we did put a poll up, and the listeners voted, and we are doing holiday horror movies. So we'll do like Silent Night, Deadly Night. I think we
Tom's
might.
Old home videos.
Yeah. Right. I think we actually might cover Violent Night.
Yeah.
Because it's getting some pretty good buzz, and I wanted to see it.
Looks great.
It looks a lot of fun.
Did you see it, Tom?
No, I did not.
Okay. Oh, okay. But I saw somebody say that, like, you know, the debate about whether Die Hard is a Christmas movie. And I was like, yeah, he's like, here you go.
Right.
This is it. This will end the debate for you. So, yeah, there's going to be a few holiday horror related titles. And along with Violent Night, I think is going to go up there as well.
Okay. Awesome. I'm trying to remember. I saw a horror Christmas movie a while back. What was it called? Was it Better Watch Out?
That could be one, yeah.
That's a pretty good title.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, Better Watch Out. That's and it's... good. It's,
is it Black Christmas, directed by Bob Clark?
Did we cover that?
No.
We didn't?
We did the remake.
You didn't listen to last week's episode, apparently.
Not yet, no.
Okay.
Because I couldn't remember the movie. Oh. So we said things just to irritate you. But yeah, it's called Better Watch Out. It came out in 2017.
Oh!
And it's kind of like Home Alone, but a horror movie. And it was way better than I thought. And it actually stars the two main kids from... The Visit.
Oh, really?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess it made it right after this.
Okay.
And
they went on the set and said, hey, you two.
You two,
yeah,
let's go.
It stars the brother and sister, but they're not playing brother and sister again. It's not like, you know, they're playing very different characters.
This is like Wanda and Pietra.
Oh, sure.
When Quicksilver and Wanda and then Cloverfield, their boyfriend and girlfriend, but they were brother and sister.
No, it was Godzilla.
Was it Godzilla? I thought it was Cloverfield.
No, Cloverfield is...
Okay, but Godzilla is very similar.
It is Godzilla,
their
husband and wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're brother and sister in the MCU, which is obviously... Or the whatever it was.
It was
that
it was the MCU.
Was it the MCU?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. It was post-Avengers, too.
Oh, that's right, because Evan Peters is the Fox one. So yeah, so in the MCU, and it was just weird to see them go from... You know, anytime it's like,
right,
brother and sister, now you're married.
Husband and wife, yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Or like... when Tom Hanks and Sally Field went from love interest to mother and son.
When were they love interests?
In Punchline, the stand-up comedy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then in Forrest Gump, their mother and son. Now, people like to make a big deal out of that. I think it's a little unfair because in Punchline, part of the premise was that she was older.
Oh,
And then in Forrest Gump, they needed her to be able to play his mother when he's
a kid,
when he's 38,
right,
or however.
They age her up quite a bit.
Yeah, so like it's not really quite as sexist. As
history has
not
been kind to that movie.
It has not.
Yeah.
Which one?
Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Forrest Gump's always been...
It's just very schmaltzy.
Yeah.
It very much wears its heart on its sleeve, but it's also effective.
Like totally.
It works.
It is funny to see, I remember when that came out, it was like, this is the greatest movie.
Yeah.
And now you're...
won a lot of Oscars.
Yeah,
right?
Won a bunch of Oscars. Yeah. But now people are watching it, I guess, in 2022. They're like, this is terrible.
Yeah, it's a different time. And there's always been that, Jenny and Forrest, and is she taking advantage of him? But then it's like, well, are people that are mentally disabled, not allowed to have relationships and happiness? And, there's that debate where it's just like...
Jenny's also a terrible character.
Well, Jenny is a terrible person, absolutely.
Yeah, so maybe.
Yeah. Well, you can be terrible for more than one reason.
That's true.
They're not mutually exclusive.
No. But that character doesn't exactly lend herself to being sympathetic.
Yeah.
We got to get a restaurant out of it, though.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Congratulations, Bubba Gump.
Yeah. We don't have one in St. Louis.
We do not.
Whenever we travel, we have a family rule that you're not allowed to eat at a chain restaurant.
That's a good rule.
Oh. Yeah,
that's a real good rule.
But you could only go there. It's a
right.
chain.
So we make an exception for if it's a chain that we don't have here. So we don't have a Bubba Gump in St. Louis.
Right.
And we will allow Bubba Gump.
Oh, you don't go to the Applebee's on Broadway?
Right. Yes. Hey, man, when you got kids,
sometimes
they'll do that. They'll be like, let's go to TGI Fridays. And I'm like, we're in Honolulu. What are you doing?
Oh, boy, you're going to get the $9 milkshakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Can't wait.
So it's like, no, we're not doing that. But Bubba Gump Shrimp gets a pass because we don't
have
one in St. Louis.
That's fair.
So, yeah. Same with, a lot of the stuff at Disney World is like that. Like, Rainforest Cafe is a chain.
Sure.
I think T-Rex? Do they have more of those? T-Rex is the same people that do Rainforest.
Yeah, there's more than one of those, I think. But, Chicago is our closest Rainforest Cafe, I believe.
Well, I don't
wasn't,
like Rainforest
there, wasn't
Cafe.
One here?
No.
Okay.
We had a Planet Hollywood at one point.
I went to that Planet Hollywood.
Remember with the Arnold and the T2 and the jacket?
Can I tell you that I have bigger hands than Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah.
Oh, are those to scale?
I mean, I'm sure he put his hands in there.
Oh, the prince. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I thought you meant on the mannequin.
No.
Classic St. Louis. We had a Planet Hollywood, and within 2 weeks of it opening up, the letter T burns out in the sign, and I'm like, just like St. Louis, to get a plain Hollywood.
Plain Hollywood.
Just a plain old Hollywood.
We got Corey Feldman's cousin to come by. and do the grand opening.
Yeah.
Like it was, you know.
You know, the best thing that they had at Planet Hollywood, when it closed, the thing that I missed, Captain Crunch breaded chicken tenders.
Yeah, those weren't as good as I would have thought.
Really? I've never had those.
Well, I mean, okay, I was a small child at the time, so I was
35.
I wasn't a chicken tender aficionado as a grown man at the time, but I was like, damn, those are so good.
But you can make them at home now.
I don't want to make anything at home. Yeah, I want to go to the order. What? Excuse me, my fine sir. One order of the Cap'n Crunch chicken tenders.
When they open
the Cap'n.
Well, yeah, I wanted to be. I didn't want to get any letters.
When they opened the Planet Hollywood here, I was promotions director for the Point, and so we had to go down and meet with them because we were to do promotions and giveaways and stuff like that. So we met with their promotions guy, who was gay.
Okay,
this will come. You need to know that for the rest of the story.
Just like,
yeah, you need to know that for the rest of the story. I'm not just pointing out gay people. And so.
So how much promotions did you do?
So so the other promotions guy for the river, the other station in the cluster.
Yeah.
So that can make sense for people that.
It was like adult contemporary.
Right.
Yeah.
So he gives us, when we leave, little gift bags of Planet Hollywood stuff.
Sure.
Right. And we get back and I'm opening the thing and I'm like, holy cow. I'm like, I got a t-shirt and a hat. And I'm like, holy cow, this guy gave me like a Planet Hollywood hockey jersey.
Oh my
gosh. Those were like $175.
Wow. Those aren't cheap.
Yeah. I'm like, holy cow. And I'm like, what'd you get? And he opens his bag and he's like, I got a mug.
What?
He think he had a little.
Or he realized. More people listen to the podcast.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe you were on a better station.
Well, because we were there as a unit.
Oh.
Because we were in the same cluster of stations. So it was like he set up a meeting for both of us.
I will say, though, which station is still around?
Yeah. I like the river, though.
It ain't the river.
It is not the river.
No. Yeah. That's not 101 ESPN.
What are they playing? Christmas music 24/7 now?
God,
what are they?
No, they're ESPN.
Yeah, they're ESPN.
Oh, it turned to a sports network.
Yeah.
Well, no, it did... Did it go right from the river? This is such a niche.
People who want to hear about Pinocchio are pissed right now. I'm telling you.
Sorry, Heather Sachs.
Did it go right from the river to the?
I believe
ESPN?
So. Like the river, or the like arch or whatever. Floundered for a while.
Yeah,
yeah. But so anyway, Pinocchio.
Well, I will say I did
well,
this do
is it. Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio.
Sure.
I did want to say
there's another one called Pinocchio and
that apparently is not good.
Yeah,
we didn't cover the cartoon.
The one with Robert Benigni.
No,
Roberto Benigni.
There is another. That's
that
right.
One, yeah,
that's
that is another one.
That was his big follow-up to winning an Oscar.
Yeah, right.
But Tom Hanks was in the one earlier this year.
Oh,
this
I never even
competing.
Saw that.
This is the Jungle Book movies. Yeah. This is doing Pinocchio's.
And they flipped it on this one. I will say, I did do an episode on Escape from New York on the Screen Run podcast. So that if you check them out.
What is this, the shameless plug
section? I don't want to talk about the movie first. I'm getting there.
I never realized the other day until something popped up in my feed. James Cameron worked on Escape from New York.
I did not realize he was like a second unit.
He was doing like something. Matte. It was a picture of him doing matte paintings.
Yeah. It's awesome. Check them out. They're doing they're doing the Lord's work. They are doing all of Carpenter's stuff. And I don't mean just the good stuff. They're doing the whole thing. So I might come back for Escape from L.A. We'll see.
Okay.
But yeah, the screen.
Well, you said
podcast.
They weren't doing just the good stuff, that would make sense.
It would make sense.
The best stuff.
Right. Well, he's got a good run, and then he doesn't have a good run. It was hard to watch this movie only because I was so enamored with the creation and like everything that went into this. I think this is a fantastic looking movie.
It looks great.
I think it's a little dry.
I love this movie.
I thought that you would.
I think this is the best animated film of the year. This should win the Oscar, hands down. This is incredible.
I hated the voice work in this movie.
Oh, interesting. Oh. That didn't bother me at all.
And I normally I always feel weird like critiquing child actors, but he was awful.
Interesting. I didn't think he was bad.
I thought like I wanted to punch Pinocchio in the like I hated this kid, and there's a way to voice that where he's not so irritating.
Precocious? He's supposed to be, though, because like he doesn't know how to behave, and that's part of the lying and the nose growing. He's supposed to be a little jerk. Yeah,
but it's, God, I just...
And then by the end, he becomes good. Like, that's the whole growth of, like, I think the actor did a really good job because you are supposed to be like, oh, you're a little
You're terrible.
Yeah, you're bad. And that's the whole thing, like, with the story, like, even back to the Disney, because he goes to Stromboli and smokes cigars and does all this stuff with the bad kids, and they turn into donkeys, and, like, he's supposed to be bad and annoying. You know,
no, I don't... I always thought he's impressionable.
He's not... Yeah, and he's not worldly. Yeah. And so he's easily influenced, because he just doesn't understand things. And
right.
This kid just came off like a...
Yeah,
because he doesn't know.
When I'm rooting for the whale, that's a problem.
Oh, geez.
Like, and it's a great...
Not a whale, he's a dogfish.
It's a great looking...
It's unbelievable.
It is a stunning...
Yeah, the craftsmanship. I mean, the detail.
Yeah.
On every, like, the wood grain. When he's carving Pinocchio.
Yeah.
And the shavings and the different pieces of wood and their different grain. The attention to detail.
Yeah.
This is phenomenal.
Netflix does have, like, a making of doc after this that I was like, I have to, like.
How long is it?
30 minutes.
Okay.
I think.
Because I'm like, I'm not spending another 2 hours.
No. But it's one of those things where as you're watching it, it's almost like Wallace and Gromit.
Yeah.
Where, like, when you're just watching that as a movie, you're like, this is kind of amazing. And then you go back and watch just the painstaking process to, like, move it half an inch and then move it another half an inch. So,
like, if you don't know, this is stop motion animation.
Which I thought this was like computer generated.
The way
stop.
Lego movie wasn't really Legos.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah, no, this right. is like what Leica does. Leica does real stop motion animation too.
And this is Jim Henson though?
It's set in association with Jim Henson, so yeah.
Oh, okay.
But
I didn't know that company still existed.
I didn't know that either.
Like, oh,
I,
really?
I thought it had been fully absorbed by Disney.
Oh, no. Yeah,
so I wonder
no, they
who this
still
is
do stuff.
Then. So but that's a good point. Do you think they just bought the rights to the Muppets? And not the whole...
Originally, they had licensed the Muppets.
Yeah.
And then they bought the Muppets. But I thought they
Everything
ended up buying all of the Jim Henson Company. But I guess not.
There
because,
must be
I mean,
out there.
That's why Fraggle Rock is on HBO and not Disney Plus. And
oh.
And like they and it, and it there are some things that it really screwed up, like Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
Right. Yeah.
And the original Emmett Otter, there's a framing sequence with Kermit. And Kermit's hosting... the show.
Yeah.
And then they had to cut I think it's back now, but
okay.
For years they I don't know if Disney ended up buying Emmett Otter. They were like, hey, it's a nickel, you know. Or
throw it, we're gonna buy Oswald, throw
yeah.
in Emmett Otter and...
But or if they just like were like, yeah, you can have the Kermit back for the but
so where do you is that streaming somewhere?
I believe it's on Amazon Prime and
oh,
it's
okay.
also available for purchase because I snagged it a couple years back.
That's
on
Chris
Voodoo
Frank's
for like,
favorite movie.
For like $5.
Is it really?
Uh-huh.
It was a TV show, not a movie.
Okay. I call all those things movies. It's not I mean, it's a TV
You're
movie.
You're a film critic.
It's a TV movie.
It's like 30
it's not
minutes.
A TV
that's
show.
Not a movie.
It's a Christmas special.
Yeah, but that's
it's
a
like
movie.
The Grinch.
It's
like,
a television Christmas.
Wait,
I call
wait,
those
you
are
call,
short films.
Do you call The Grinch a movie?
I don't know. I think of it as a movie, but I think of it as
okay.
a short film. But
You're weird.
Well, then all TV shows are... You know, MASH had 200.
No, but those are
in 20 short films.
That's the difference, though. It's a TV series. A one-time special is basically a short film. It's one story contained in one. It aired on TV, but it's
true.
It's not a TV show. It's a
yeah, but even
special,
the Grinch is only like 20 minutes.
That's not 20 minutes. It's longer than that.
I don't think so.
I think
you got to put in commercials,
yeah,
right?
I think it's a little longer than that.
Okay.
But that's a one movie. It's a one story told to you. It's not a TV show. You don't. I'm going to go watch The Grinch, the TV show. It's a short.
That would,
it's
that
a
would
special.
Be, that would be terrible.
Like Rudolph.
It's 26 minutes, the original.
Without
okay.
Commercial. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a short films can be 15 minutes,
sure.
20 minutes.
5 minutes.
So a TV special to me that's a one and done is a short film. And I know that it's not marketed that way necessarily, but
it
yeah, is
they showed it on your TV. I could
right,
never go see that theatrically, which makes it a TV
yeah.
show.
No,
you don't think they've ever shown The Grinch?
I'm sure they have at some point.
Has it, but not originally.
But it's not a TV show. It's a TV special, which is
TV.
I would not
a
consider
a made-for-TV movie. I mean,
I wouldn't consider The Guardians a movie.
What do you mean?
The Guardians Christmas special. That I wouldn't think of that as a movie.
Yeah.
What's it? They're all the exact same thing. I mean, it's just semantics. It doesn't matter one way or the other. But those telling us, I mean, it's a short film that they. It's a TV special, a holiday special. It's a.
I think it's a TV show.
I will agree with it. It's a TV special.
It is. Yeah. It is special for TV. That is true.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a special. They're all specials, but it's a short film.
Okay.
It's the same thing. It's just where it airs would make it a TV special. First, you don't put a, you can't put a short film on the theaters. You'd have to put 10 of them together or something, you know?
Yeah, those, like, are called, those are called film fests.
Yeah, you'd have to, you'd do a short film at a film festival. Well, that's the thing. They don't show it theatrically. That's why the TV is the medium, but you are still.
But I also think you got to think of the times, though, right? Like, that's, TV was a million times more accessible than going to the theater.
Yeah.
So they would put them on TV as a TV show.
Were there commercials during it? I don't. Yes. I don't get commercials during a movie.
Well, what is this? So, what is Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio? Is that a TV show? It's not in the. It's not a movie in the theaters. I mean, maybe they did because of the awards. But what is that? TV show? TV special?
I think now that is an interesting question, yeah. Because the landscape has changed.
But when Grinch was created, the landscape was TV movies. Yes,
right. So, right. Yes. But mediums change, but yeah. The content. If you made a short film and didn't put it in TV and it was at a festival and you called it The Grinch, and this is my The Grinch, a short film about a guy that lives on Mount Crumpet and comes and steals Christmas, yeah. It could be the same story if you never knew about it from airing on TV.
Sure,
right. And it played at a fest. You would agree that could be a short film?
Right, because
yeah, it's
that's
just where it aired.
Because
yeah.
That's where they put it.
Yeah. So, technicality, but format-wise, to me, I don't know why, but as a kid, I just think of it as a short film.
Okay. Like, I've never considered Looney Tunes to be a TV show.
Oh.
What do you consider that?
What do you consider that?
Well, I mean, those originally all aired theatrically.
You mean the original?
Yeah. So they've repurposed them.
Yeah.
Oh. Like, I don't consider the Three Stooges to be TV.
Oh,
I consider them to be film.
But I hear
because
you.
They were created. They were two reelers. They ran in theaters. And then because
but I watched them on TV.
Yeah. I mean, you know, most things. I mean, I've never seen Lawrence of Arabia in a theater,
yeah.
But I consider it a film.
Yeah.
Right. So
that's interesting.
But those were all intended to be theatrical. Those original Looney Tunes were all, you know, were
I
all
consider
released
those
theatrical.
To be TV shows.
Yeah. No, I don't consider it to be TV shows at all.
This is such an interesting. It really is fascinating.
We're having an existential crisis.
It's all perspective, though, you know. But anyway, so what were we talking about? What was the
just? I mean,
Pinocchio.
What was the special we were talking about that brought this all up?
Oh,
what did I call a movie that you said was a TV show?
I think you called Grinch a movie. And we were like,
oh, no, the Otter. The
Otter. Emmett Otter.
Otter. Yeah, that's
okay,
right.
It's okay.
So wait, Emmett Otter, Jim Henson. Back. Okay, we figured it out. We
so this is
followed our
so many tangents we got lost.
Right. This is stunning, painstakingly animated with love stop motion animation that feels like a Guillermo del Toro movie. You know, like it looks and feels like GDT.
Yep.
But it's stop motion. It's a different medium than we've seen him work in, and so it's amazing that those animators were able to capture a Del Toro film in animation like this.
What's interesting is when you're watching that behind the scenes doc, Guy Davis, who's a comic book artist, did.
Is he related to Jim Davis?
I don't know. No, probably. If you look at their art, probably.
Is he related
not.
To Mac Davis?
Yes.
Okay.
As a matter of fact. But Guy Davis worked with Mike Mignola a lot. Like a lot of the Hellboy stuff, a lot of the BPRD stuff, Guy Davis
hey,
did.
Hey,
the
hey, hey, this is a family show. It's Heck Boy.
Oh,
Heck
do I have
Boy,
to censor
sorry.
That?
Yeah.
A lot of that stuff. Guy Davis did the art for. So when you see, and I didn't know that he did the storyboards, but then when you see, I've seen that guy's art so much that now when I see the characters, I was like, oh, that's so weird that it does look like a Guy Davis illustration come to life. But it's crazy to look at when they're doing that, you know, again, it's, we're going to move it half an inch, then we're going to move it half an inch, and then like, I could not imagine. Just the
it takes a person that does not
I
have
guess
ADD
15 years to like get this to all together
it's
and
like,
rolling.
It's like watching your kids clean their room.
I know
this had to have taken
buddy.
I don't know what the production. I don't know if they said it in the special. I didn't catch it, but if it was like 4 or 5 years. I mean, this has to take a long time to
it's
produce
a big
it.
Part
it's,
of these people's lives.
Yeah.
That, but yeah, to your point though, is you get like this the sprite or you get. The death and all these things, and you look at them, you're like, well, that's right out of a Guillermo del Toro movie.
He's huge on creatures, right?
Yeah,
so
that's his jam.
Pan's Labyrinth and Hellboy, and all of his stuff has different creatures, or most of it has creatures in it. And so when you look at the
Blade 2.
Yeah, exactly.
No, creatures in Blade 2.
So when you look at the creature design within this movie and the dogfish, which is like the whale that you would know from regular Pinocchio, they're gross and they're, you know, they're creepy.
Or they're really
pretty.
That monkey.
That monkey is terrifying.
Like, like the monkey's really scary. The dogfish thing is disgusting with the bubbles and the stomach acid.
Yeah,
and,
but
there's like growths on the inside. Like, I mean, it's nasty and it's.
But it's. But then you get the Sprite and Death, who I think are absolutely stunning to look at.
Like, Sebastian Cricket is really cool looking.
Okay, so Jiminy Cricket is Disney, right?
Right.
Like they created Jiminy Cricket.
Right? I think there's always a cricket in the story,
but Jiminy is their creation. Yeah.
But they were being cutesy because that's a, you know, that's a saying, Jiminy Crickets, and so they were like, "Oh, we'll call him Jiminy Cricket." Like they were being cute.
So when he called him Sebastian,
Sebastian J, T, or is it J?
Well, I think it's J for a reason.
Oh,
and they just can't say it.
Yeah,
but it's
Ewan McGregor.
He's the best part of the movie.
He's really good.
I would agree.
I love the gag of him getting crushed or swallowed, like constantly just getting eaten. And when he's about to sing a song.
I love that they keep shutting down his song. They should have done it a little bit more. It wasn't quite enough of a running gag, but I did like the running gag of he keeps going. Because the first time he goes in to do it, I'm like, another song? Because that's the other thing. The songs in this movie are trash. They're just awful. What is this?
I thought it was really funny.
I
liked it.
The songs just, they sound like they're making up the songs as they're singing.
But it's not really a musical. There's a few songs sprinkled throughout, but the movie doesn't have.
So we went from TV shows or movies, but this movie with songs is not a musical.
It's not in the traditional, like, Joe, you're not a huge musical guy. Like, in a musical,
can I tell you that Leanne actually said, while we were watching this last night, she was like, man, I feel like you've watched a lot of musicals. And I was like, Yeah, I sure have.
Over the last 20 years. Your horizon.
Is there something you need to tell me, Joe?
Right.
But, you know, it's not. So for people that don't care for musicals, there's not one every few. It doesn't. The entire story isn't told through songs. There are songs in it, but it isn't like every bit of dialogue.
It felt like we were going at one point bouncing from like song, 5-minute interlude, song. And I agree.
These songs are awful.
They're not good. And the Disney, it's hard not to compare this to the Disney one because that's probably the most famous iteration.
Oh, for sure.
Of Pinocchio. Yeah. And that one has very Disney centered songs, right? Yeah. Like the string song.
Got No Strings.
Got No Strings. When You Wish Upon a Star, which I think Disney still uses to this day. Like it's part.
I mean,
of,
it was the opening of the
castle, right?
And it was the opening theme song to The Wonderful World.
Right. So, to me. And I love Guillermo del Toro. Like, I think he is.
Why don't you marry him?
All right.
He's already married.
Can I live in that house? Because, yes, please. I think when he is able to, when he is committed to something and he is able just to, like, focus on that thing, that dude is untouchable.
He gives everything 100%.
I agree. We talked about Nightmare Alley, which I think we all dug, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I love Nightmare Alley.
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. And there's no creatures. There's no. There's some weird stuff in that movie, but
Del Toro Del Toro movie. It's got the vibe, like the creepy vibe.
But he was dialed in.
Yeah.
You know? So I think if he had just dialed in on the story and not worried about, I don't know, it almost feels like he was trying to compete with the original Disney one, but I don't know why.
Well, I think it's, I get what you're saying, and I think because it's so iconic, every choice is like, we can't do that.
Right.
Is it too close? Like, and so you end up kind of like, well, I've got to do something totally different so I don't get compared. But at the core, you're still telling the same story. So that's difficult to do.
I respected that, though. Like, I agree. Like, but you don't want such a different direction.
But you don't want to end up making a different choice just for the sake of making a different choice.
But I figure, so he adapted this, though. So obviously, Pinocchio's a really old story.
Yeah.
And I mean, almost all Disney movies are old stories. They're not originals, right? So
can we get a Disney one where the Little Mermaid turns into foam?
Right, exactly. But I mean, there's there's the Hans Christian Andersen.
A porn parody where she ends up covered in foam. I don't know if that's quite the same thing.
If it comes out as foam, go to the doctor. Ain't right.
So I think that he's taking more of the fairy tale approach, where this is closer to this is the book he's adapting. The story he's adapting. Those beats are in that book.
So does he, instead of going to the Island of Misfit Toys, does he go off to Nazi Germany?
Well, the Island of Misfit Toys.
First of all, that's
Rudolph,
not a great movie.
That's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
What did I say?
Island of Misfit Toys.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. The
circus?
Yes.
It is the island of, it is an island.
But when he goes
Pleasure Island.
Pleasure Island. That's a
also a different movie.
Yes.
But when he, you know, hooks up with the with those boys.
You don't want to know what that nose turns into.
I know. That's on video. But like turning into a donkey and things like that, like none of that is in this. There's none of that.
Right.
He goes to like Nazi war camp in this one. Like, is that in the book or is that a Del Toro thing?
So well, this takes place in the 1930s.
I guess it wouldn't go yeah, Nazi.
It's hundreds of years old. Fair, so no,
right.
He did not go to Nazi Germany in hundreds of years ago.
But this is, who's the Italian guy?
Mussolini. Roberto Benigni.
So this is... Oh. So this is Mussolini, and takes place in Italy, and so it's set in the 1930s, and so everything is period appropriate for that, and they're at war, and there's bombs going off and everything. And I thought that part with the sun was really touching. I mean, that is not something I expected in the story of Pinocchio, and usually Geppetto's like, he doesn't have kids, and he wants a kid. Well, in this movie, Del Toro gives him a kid.
He takes him
away. And shows you how much he loves this kid, and they're so great together.
Because that kid's not a dick.
It's true.
He's like, I wished for Carlos back, not this.
Not this. Look at this psychopath.
But, man.
You're not supposed to love kids, and you're not supposed to love kid...
Both are correct.
Both are true.
Yes.
So, man, that was a heartbreaking because you knew it was coming. They show you him at Carlos's grave, like, and then give you 10 minutes of him at Carlos.
Normally, in a kids movie like this, when somebody dies, it's like in the first 3 minutes, and you don't really. They're like, oh, and his son had died years ago. Oh, that's sad.
Right.
And it's like, here's his son and how adorable and sweet he is for 10 minutes. And then,
by
like,
the way, we're gonna drop a bomb on him.
Yes. Now we'll drop an anvil on his head.
So it's like, I mean, they built it up to take him away and to show you the heartbreak. So I think it was very moving and well handled with the relationship and showing you how much Geppetto loved his child. And then so you see the agony he goes through, and so basically they're at a church working on a statue of Jesus on the cross and
a crucifix.
A crucifix
for those of us that went to Catholic
school. Correct.
And so they're working on that, and then all of a sudden you hear this rumbling in the background, and there's planes going overhead, and the kid has found this perfect pine cone they talked about finding, and they're so excited about it. And anyway, they go outside, and all the bombs are going off, and Geppetto's like, "Let's hit it!" And of course, Carlos goes back for the perfect pine
cone. Also, I will say.
And it gets bombed.
But why would Geppetto let him go back in there?
I don't. He just did it. You know, I think he was watching to make sure.
I guess that's true.
Plus, they weren't a target, right? They just dropped their bombs to lighten their load. Like they didn't. They weren't necessarily even a target. So going back in the church, you wouldn't have thought. Yeah, you would. You know, like that's not necessarily more or less dangerous. That bomb could have just as easily landed right outside of the church.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. That's fair. So,
but horrible. And you see, but you feel the agony Geppetto's going through. Like they did a great job building that up. And then that scene, again, animation wise, incredibly impressive, where Geppetto's in this drunken state and he's like, the pine tree is now grown by Carlos's grave, and he's like, I'm going to get him back. And so he cuts it down.
I do like
Jiminy, Sebastian's living in there.
Also,
made it his home.
Maybe don't pick another name of another Disney character.
Yeah.
That was just their kind of F you.
Right.
Yeah.
But I will say, like, after watching that doc, and they were saying like what we wanted to do,
a what's up doc?
Oh, I would love to watch. Sign me up. When they were like, you know, he starts off carving Pinocchio's face, and it's perfect and it's pristine, and then he's getting drunker and drunker
that's
as he's doing
detail.
It. And then like you
so
can
the other
see
side
it
of him is not as
I was like, dang,
they made it asymmetrical on purpose. It started off with the ear, and it's perfect, and then it goes to
wonky. It gets wonky.
It's
like,
great,
that is...
and I like the design. Like we're so used to Pinocchio, like in the Disney version, he looks like a boy. He looks like a human kid and just made out of wood.
Yeah,
but in this one, he looks like Groot.
He does.
Yeah, you know, like I mean, it's like I would. They could do a baby Groot and Pinocchio crossover.
Please don't.
But I like.
Yeah, you'll get the boy version of Pinocchio. They're both Disney. You dunce.
I like that they. It was just different. I love how Del Toro put his own spin on this, and it wasn't trying to make it like anything that you've ever seen. And it follows the story beats and this book specifically that he found. I don't know who wrote this story that it was adapted from, but. They weren't trying to do anything else. Like Del Toro wanted to tell the story of Pinocchio, and I feel like he made it his own thing. It was unlike any other version I've seen.
That is, and I think that's the factor for me that like kind of ramps this up. Just, but I do agree that like it's a little dry. I don't like the songs.
Yeah,
the voice work. I thought the voice work was great. I think everybody.
I just really didn't like that kid.
That's fair. That's fair. He definitely has like a squeaky. Not, I was gonna say, my head was like Squeaky Fromm, but that's not.
No, no. That's
a hey, good very, sing voice. Very different. I thought he was good,
but
I didn't like that style of singing.
Oh, okay.
That child falsetto
oh,
thing.
Sure, sure, sure.
It's just like nails on a chalkboard.
But this voice cast,
David Bradley, who you know as Filch from Harry Potter.
Oh, see, I went Game of Thrones.
Well, yeah, and then the Red Wedding bad guy, whatever that guy's name is. You would know him from that stuff and other stuff, of course.
Sure.
But he does a great job as Geppetto.
Do you know who he is in Hot Fuzz?
Yeah,
he's like the guy that has like the arsenal when they go to check. You know, the guy that has like the mine that like rolls over but doesn't ignite.
Oh,
that's him.
Okay,
the
I knew
guy
it was
the
in
guy
them.
That can't speak like
oh okay.
speaking
yeah, yeah,
no
yeah.
English. Yeah,
yeah
that's
okay,
him.
Okay, that's
yeah.
funny. But he's been in a bunch of stuff. But I thought he was great as Geppetto.
I thought he was
again the heartbreak, feeling that agony and the anger, and I thought he was phenomenal. Then you have Bern Gorman, who's the guy in Pacific Rim, who's like I think he's the one with the cane. He's not Charlie Day. Charlie Day and Bern Gorman work together in those Pacific Rim movies.
Who is he? Who is he in this?
Oh, he's the priest. The
okay,
and then you've got the Podesta, which is like he's like a police officer or something.
Is
Ron,
it Ron Perlman,
yeah,
yeah.
I don't know, but he's called Podesta. But I don't know what
I thought
he
role was
like.
He I thought he was like a German or Italian because they definitely there's Nazi salutes in this movie, which I was also.
But it's not
like,
Nazi. It's Mussolini.
Yeah, but it's
Hitler
the same...
based that on. Other dictators like Mussolini, right?
I don't really know the origin of it.
Because this is 15
I guess
years
that's
before.
True,
it can't,
but, yes.
They took that from this. See, that's why it looks so familiar.
Okay, yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
But anyway, but he's like some kind of like, he's like police or military. He's, and so you see like all these kids that are going to war, they've enlisted, and his son is one of them, who's another Candlewick, who's Finn Wolfhard.
That's
from,
who I thought, yeah. When I saw his name, I was like, well, that can only be one other person.
Right. Yeah, Stranger Things. John Turturro is Dottore. I don't know who that is.
Oh, I don't know.
I know who John Turturro is, but
yeah, right.
Dottore. I don't know. Cate Blanchett is the monkey.
That is the funniest part of this whole thing is that I think that she said in that interview, she said, we were working on Nightmare Alley.
Right.
And she's like, and he was already working on Pinocchio. And she was like, I have got to be in this movie. And he's like, all I have left is the monkey. And she was like, okay.
But I like, though, but they, so.
Like Neil Patrick Harris and Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
That's right.
But what's interesting about this is that she actually got to do a little bit more because Spazzatura, this monkey that is with the carnival, he puppeteers these different marionettes and they gives them voices. And so as the monkey, Spazzatura doesn't speak, it's just monkey noises. But then when he moves the marionettes, they do Cate Blanchett voices.
Yes.
And so it was just interesting. She got to actually do some voice acting. Yeah. I thought that was an interesting character choice.
It is kind of crazy, though, if you think that like an actress, the level of Cate Blanchett, where she's like, where Del Toro's like, all I've got is a monkey left. She's like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, that's great. That's pretty dope.
Love it. Tim Blake Nelson is the Black Rabbits. Every time he dies, there's these Black Rabbits playing cards. And
he's the leader.
He's Buster Scruggs or whatever from the Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Oh, I was like, he's the leader from The Incredible Hulk.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Christoph Waltz plays Volpe. And so Volpe is Stromboli in the Disney
character.
Pinocchio,
yeah.
is the circus guy. And so you saw in the making of thing that they had this guy that looks like Stromboli from the Disney. Big guy, big beard and deep voice and all that, whatever. And they had designed all the puppets for the movie and all the different faces and everything. And Del Toro's like, I like the look of this guy over here.
They put all this time and effort into this puppet, and then you only see him for like 2 seconds.
He's like the strong man in the circus, you know, in a couple background scenes or whatever. But Christoph Waltz plays Volpe, who is the bad circus, you know, the antagonist of the story. Tilda Swinton plays the wood sprite and Death, two other very cool-looking creatures.
Oh, yeah, those are my favorite-looking characters.
Tom Kenny, who, as soon as the pirate, Geppetto goes out on the water when he gets eaten by the dogfish and all that.
Yeah.
And this pirate, because, you know, Tom Kenny does the voice at the beginning of SpongeBob.
Yes.
Aye, aye, kids. And he's doing the exact same pirate voice. And then he also plays Mussolini, a character called Right Hand Man. But, yeah, the sea captain. He's doing the SpongeBob sea captain voice. And Alfie Tempest plays Carlo in the beginning.
Yeah, that's Tom's favorite character.
Well, no, he likes Carlo.
Oh, Carlo's
doesn't
fine.
Like
yeah.
Pinocchio.
Gregory.
Yeah, I guess it's really just the kid I don't like.
Oh, okay, so Gregory Mann plays Pinocchio slash Carlo, and then Alfie Tempest does Carlo voice as well. So
one of them's a singing voice, maybe?
Yeah, you're right. Maybe one of them's a singing voice. I don't see it on here, but that's a good call.
Yeah.
So
it's a crazy
the cast.
The
cast is stacked, and I thought they did a great job. So the thing is, I think you have a tough time because Pinocchio is so beloved by Disney. Again, so people think they know what Pinocchio is from that, right? And so if you get anything different, it could make people go, hey, what is this? But like with the story of Pinocchio, the Del Toro feel and this amazing stop motion animation and the voices that I felt fit the characters, like I thought it all came together really naturally in a way that didn't take me back or go like, oh, I didn't compare it to other Pinocchios. I just thought this is this amazing world that's been meticulously crafted. And I thought the story was really good. Like I thought they went places that were darker and more serious than the other Pinocchios we've seen, which was kind of cool to explore those things. Death, you know, more instead of being like, oh,
I like the idea of like
aside,
he can't
die.
He can't die, but he does. But he comes back. Yeah, and but there's still a consequence. You know?
Sure,
and I like how every time he came back, he had either missing feet or a bullet hole in him.
Oh,
they would bring him back in this way because he's not alive. So you know, I mean, his existence is this magical. The wood sprite Geppetto is crying, and the wood sprites are traveling through the forest.
I had to think. I was like, how did Pinocchio become a real thing?
Yeah, the eyeballs with tails. You know, like, going through
but
the forest.
I couldn't. I honestly, like, I was drawing a complete blank. It's been decades since I've seen Pinocchio. So I could not remember to save my life how the puppet.
That's the blue fairy wishing. He's wished upon a star. That's the whole wish upon a star. Yes. And the blue fairy comes down.
And it's like, how? And then as soon as Leanne's like, the blue fairy, of course, here comes.
The wood sprite, which is
very blue as well.
Blue and amazing looking design. Yeah. And grants Pinocchio this life. But the life is, again, is he's not alive. He's not a real boy. He has this otherworldly magical existence. And so if he dies, quote unquote, if he gets shot or exploded or whatnot, he goes to this
I feel like
after,
if he gets exploded, he ain't coming back.
I don't. But his like exploded. I mean, yeah, if he were in a million pieces, I think it'd be tough because he comes back with the damage.
Right.
But in this one, like he explode, like there's an explosion. He flies through the air, like cartoony wise.
Yes, very Looney Tunes-esque.
And so he goes to this afterlife, this kind of in between, like it's
purgatory,
temporary.
Basically.
Yeah, this like temporary holding spot with these rabbits that are playing cards and everything, and then a timer, an hourglass ticks down. There's this little bit of like a. It's like a respawn in a video game where you're, like, you're waiting to be respawned.
Right.
And then he comes back, but with the damage. So it was a really interesting way.
And each time it takes longer to come back, right?
That's what I said? That's how I interpreted
like.
It.
And in the end, it was like a real long, like it never seemed that long as in the end when he's like, I got to go back.
Right.
But that was really cool and a cool visual thing to follow along and see the damage that he's taken.
It's also, we should say, like the end of this movie is kind of a cursed existence for Pinocchio.
I know, right?
Where, you know, at the end of the other one, it's like, I'm a real boy. I'm going to be, you know, I'll grow old.
Which
you'll grow old.
A curse of its own.
Correct.
Yeah.
Where this one, he's just going to keep on going. And
but that's what...
Walk the earth like...
Like Kane from
like Kane
Kung Fu.
From Kung Fu.
But that's what Sebastian J. Cricket says, is he says, do I think he'll die someday? He goes, I think so. But that means
we don't know.
He really is a real boy
someday,
then, right?
But what is someday when this immortal walking tree just, you know, has to bury his father? He carries around the dead body of his best friend in his chest, and then he had to bury his pet.
It's a Del Toro movie, so you know you're going to get some of that, right? Like, it is very much not a Disney-fied movie.
When Sebastian's like, and then one day I wasn't moving anymore. So
he found me by the window.
I was no longer.
I'm like, then who is writing this story?
Right, but it's like he still has the spirit where he carries him around.
No. It's totally. But
it's a Del Toro way of it. It's sweet. It's very sweet, but in a Del Toro sweet way, right? It's
he
not
put
your
me
typical,
in his chest. And now it's where my body disintegrated.
What's Valentine's Day look like if you're married to
that's
Guillermo
what I,
Del Toro?
I'm sure it's very romantic in its own way.
I got you this finger.
I got you the beating heart, the still beating heart from whatever, your favorite mystical creature that I've had the Jim Henson Company craft for me.
Yeah, he crafted a like two scale mythical, you know, unicorn heart.
And now this puppeteer will sit here and puppeteer the beating as we eat dinner.
As we see, and squirt blood out of the valves.
Would you like ketchup? Boop, boop, boop. So, but yeah, so it goes through the beats, though, of like Pinocchio is being a little jerk, you know, because he doesn't know, right? And so he's doing his own thing. And I really liked the part where I thought it was hilarious when he first comes to life and Geppetto, first of all, Geppetto's like...
Freaks out?
Freaking out, which makes total sense.
I appreciated
it. It was more realistic.
Yeah, it wasn't like, oh, this is delightful.
Oh, the fairy granted me a puppet child. Like, no, it's crazy.
It's like, I've been drinking way too much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he wakes up and, I mean, this stuff, there's like a knife that's being flung around and it's very Del Toro and funny in that dark humor. But he locks him up and is like, I got to go to church. Stay in there. Well, he gets out, and this is where Sebastian starts singing the song.
Yeah.
And then Pinocchio's like, nope, hits him with the door or whatever and runs off to church. But then he goes into church, and they're all like, possessed. It's a demon.
Yeah, I did like that part. It's just, a demon.
It's hilarious. But that's what people would do, right?
Yeah, like, if you saw a walking, talking puppet,
right,
I'd be like, hey, I've seen four of these movies.
And this is before technology. This is the 1930s, so obviously it's
technology.
Well, I know, I was about to clarify. So it's very, the technology of the day is very simplistic, so like they wouldn't know anything about robots or animatronics. And so at this time period, what are people going to do in church, especially?
Right.
They're going to say Satan sent this. So that was very funny. And somehow, like, this is the part that I thought was the least believable of the whole puppets coming to life and all that, is that the Ron Perlman character is like, yeah, just you know, send him to school and stuff.
It's like, he'll be
would they not just destroy that demon creature?
Right. He'll be like, a perfect soldier.
Right. But even before that, it's like, how did they let Geppetto? Because Geppetto's like, it's a puppet. But it's like, no, you explain that. How is that a puppet?
Yeah.
And then they're all just like, oh, well, just, you know, keep his nose clean.
Send him to school.
Like, so I thought, I'm like, okay, that's a little weird. Because in this time period and with that character, I'm like, that. He would be firewood in 2 seconds.
Oh, for sure. But, and he does become firewood at one point. He sets his own feet on fire.
But he, you know, so he, you know, he's supposed to go to school. And when he's going to school, then this is just like when the bat, I don't know what those guys are called in the Disney version, but the fox and the cat or whatever, find him. And they're like, oh, you need to come smoke cigars and hang out with the boys or whatever. And so basically Volpe, the bad guy, you know, he follows the monkey. And then Volpe is like, oh, well, you know, I guess you can go to school, but we're going to have unlimited
of all this fun.
Ice cream and whatever, you know, and all this stuff. And
hot chocolate.
Oh, yeah. And Pinocchio's like, well, I guess school can wait for me. And so he gets roped into that. It's the same kind of thing. And he's got his existence at the circus.
It follows almost the exact same
because
beats.
The story of Pinocchio, right? So it's the same.
And that story's not as old as I thought. It was originally written in 1883.
Oh, okay. Do you remember reading the first edition?
I do. School? We were all a buzz.
It was 5 bits.
Yes. So
much I could have paid for that.
You got your shave and a haircut. And then the two bits. To the...
Yeah, right. 3 farthings, thank you very much.
A penny feather or something.
Yeah, right.
Those old timey.
But yeah, I think it from there on out, with the exception of going to like war camp instead of the island of Pleasure Island,
which I thought was really cool. Like the scene when they're practicing for war and they're running around and he makes kids with the Candlewick kid. You know, the bad guy's son. Like, I just thought there were some really cool action type scenes. I mean, the movement in this for being stop motion animation,
that
is incredible.
That I will say, and I mentioned at the beginning, like, it, not that it took me out of it, which it didn't, but it was, there were moments where I was like,
I just want to focus on the artistry.
That's exactly
and not enjoy it as a unit.
Yeah.
It's mesmerizing. Yeah.
It is absolutely astounding to see the detail on, like, even like I was looking at like Geppetto's beard.
Oh,
where
my gosh.
It's like, just like little. It's
the way they move every little hair and
which I thought was interesting is that they had for the human characters is they had like a silicone like overlay over like an animatronic face so they could with great detail like move like an eyebrow up or just give it different types of emotion.
I believe they're called maquettes is what
is that what it is
in stop motion animation what they use is maquettes. And so Pinocchio is fully 3D printed, which is interesting because there's so much detail. Those are 3D printed.
I think they said he's the first
full 3D printed.
It's kind of funny. Like there are scenes where they have what you don't realize is there when it's Pinocchio and Jiminy Cricket.
Who?
Sebastian.
Oh, okay, Jay I didn't know Cricket. Who you were referring to there for a second.
They have a Pinocchio head that is like the size of this table.
You might have seen that online that he posted a picture Instagram or Twitter a while back where he's got a huge...
It's a massive Pinocchio
that's
head.
That's what they have to do to get some of the stuff, depending on the backgrounds and what they're working with. Sometimes they have to film things really big on a huge set to make it look like it's small. It's interesting how they have all the different
And you
skin.
know that Pinocchio head is in Del Toro's house.
Oh, yeah.
With sitting right next
Valentine's
to his.
Valentine's Day, they sit on top of it.
I think a lot of people celebrate Valentine's Day with head.
One would hope. Depends on how long you've been married.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Or your birthday, I guess. Yeah.
So, but the Pinocchio has interchangeable faces. Again, watch the making of.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Like, they don't make him like cartoonishly. His cheeks don't grow. They don't make like animation sometimes accentuates features that aren't realistic, but to get the point across with what the character is doing. But with him, it's just the face.
It's his
same
eyes
shape,
and his mouth.
Eyes and
that's,
mouth.
That's it.
And the different characters are like Geppetto, where they mold the different skin that's on top of the mechanics and everything.
It is
incredible.
If this does this has to win. I don't know. It's funny, like we talked about what was that, the Queen movie,
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Thank you.
Oh,
where it's just okay. Where it's just
the
like
Crown.
No, not that one. The other one.
I think
the other Queen.
It's on TV, so it must be a movie.
Depends.
That's called a callback.
Do they sing in it? That has something to do with it.
Yeah. Well, but my point is like that the Bohemian Rhapsody got nominated for all kinds of stuff, and the fact that he won, and then you come back a year later and Taron Egerton, who I feel like put in, I'm not going to bag on Rami Malek, but I do feel like Taron Egerton put in more work and more time into his portrayal of Elton John and actually sung the songs and didn't win. But when you have something like this that is going up against the powerhouse that is Disney and Pixar.
But there's nothing. What would be the Disney and Pixar
Strange
this year?
Planet?
Nope. Turning Red.
Turning Red.
I mean,
I'm not saying that, like, but you asked like those.
I mean, Turning Red's good, but like, they don't have anything. I don't think they can compete with this.
There's nothing.
From an animation standpoint, yes. From a story standpoint,
I think it just
doesn't.
So
gel.
when it gets
I
nominated,
think they'll give it to him for the artistry behind it. Though.
It would not surprise
you know.
You don't think it would? Well, it could not win Best Animated Feature, but Best Visual Effects, right?
That's true. But I think you know, Beauty and the Beast won the first one, right? And that pushed the boundaries with the 3D animation. I'm not saying they always give it to animation, but when you push the medium, and this certainly, I mean, Laika has been doing it for a long time, and they deserve way
more
credit.
Do they do Coba?
Yep, Coba, Coraline.
Monster House? Not Monster House.
No, not Monster House. The Missing Link, which was great with Hugh Jackman and Zach Galifianakis. I think there's another one in there that I'm not, but I mean, they're incredible. They're the ones that are known for it, and this is on that level where like Laika is doing incredible work and they're doing the work. Like, I've never heard of Jim Henson for stop motion.
Right.
You know, like, I mean, that's not their thing.
They're puppetry. I mean, I know it's a type of puppet, but it's a different type of puppet.
But to that point, I think that is why they're here, right? Because Jim Henson has always been on the front lines of innovation, sort of.
Sure.
You know?
No, not sort of.
Right? Okay, good. Yeah. I wasn't.
So puppet shows were puppets that they'd be in a box, right? And I'm talking about puppet show you see in real life, and
they'd,
you know,
yodelay, yodelay, yodelay.
Yeah, and because they evolved out of Punch and Judy and things like that, right? And Henson's real revelation on TV was that the TV was the box, right? And so he's like, as long as you're outside of the frame, it opens up a whole new world because you can use the TV to hide things.
Sure. Like they're underneath, just like in a puppet show, you'd be underneath or behind.
Cause
that's where the...
Because before that, puppet shows on TV, you'd see the box that they were in.
Oh.
They'd film a puppet show.
Okay. Strings hanging from the top.
Yeah. And
like Mr. Rogers, right?
Yeah.
Even have...
Was Mr. Rogers on top? Or that wasn't underneath?
Oh.
Hey, no.
But you could still...
It's a whole different discussion.
But
he's too wholesome. Don't do that.
But like Kukla, Fran, and Ollie, like they would
missionary
film, you know.
For... That's obviously Mr. Rogers is only missionary.
Right.
That's, there's nothing...
Reverse missionary. Get out of here.
But Henson's big revelation was like, oh, I don't need to create the box. The TV's the box. And then I can do... Now I can do all sorts of crazy stuff, which is what made the Muppets so revolutionary. So, he was definitely...
But I just think...
Like now that...
Oh, yeah.
Now that concept is... Is it like you're like, but of course, right?
Oh,
it's
sure.
So obvious, but it wasn't obvious to people. Like, you know, another thing that's like that, Candy Camera, right?
Uh-huh.
For the first, well, start off on radio.
You mean Punked?
It was Candid. It was Candid Microphone originally.
No way.
Really?
Yeah. And then they moved it to TV, and it was just a flop. Like, and then it would move to another network, and it would flop. And then they finally, because people were like, this show's mean. People didn't like the show. They're like, you're mean. This is cruel. You know how they finally got people around the idea of the show being mean?
No.
is they added a thing at the end where they would take the guy that they were
mean to.
And they'd be like, ha, 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 like, there's a camera over there. We were just being silly. And then the guy would laugh, right?
We
would call that the reveal. They would do the reveal. But, like, for the first
prestige, for the first
10 years, there was no reveal.
Oh, so you're just like, so the show, this poor guy.
The show kind of floundered. Like, it did okay. And when they finally added the reveal and they let the guy in on the joke,
okay,
now people loved it.
I got you.
But, like, you can't imagine doing a show like that because now there's so many knockoffs, right? Punked and, right. And
all of the, I mean, now, yeah, now it's a trend on TikTok.
YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. You can't imagine doing that without the reveal.
That's crazy.
Right? It seems dumb that like you're like, but of course you would do that.
I got to tell
you. But not of course.
There are some punked ones.
Justin Timberlake?
The Justin Timberlake one is
pissed.
Dude, there's a there's a Stone Cold Steve Austin one.
Oh, is he?
Oh, and they punked him. And they did two. They did The Rock, Triple H, and Austin, who I feel like two of the three of those guys are two guys you don't want to make angry. And the Steve Austin one, like, it's funny because Wrestling Corner, real quick.
Oh, we already knew.
Yeah. He, like, that character, the Steve Austin character, is Steve Austin, just turned up a little bit.
Right.
Like, there's nothing much, there's no difference between. So when this guy is, like, being a punk to Steve Austin, you can tell it got that dial got turned up back up to 11, and I was like, oh man, like, this is terrifying. And the Triple H one is also, he was trying to be very diplomatic, but he was fine. He was getting to a point where it's like, hey, knock whatever was going is like, stop doing what you're doing. And like, he has this look on his face. I was like, no, I'm gonna stop doing what I'm doing.
Were you punking him?
No.
Were you on there with Wilmer and Ashton, whoever else?
Did they leave?
Zax?
Dax, that's where Dax Shepard started.
Right? Yeah. And Punk'd,
yeah. On Punk'd.
Was it Punk'd? It wasn't something before.
No, it was Punk'd.
Okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, they were all coming off of that 70s show. Yeah. Like, I think that 70s show was still going on. Either way. But, like, when it comes to, when you talk about puppets, I would consider these puppets. Like, there's this weird,
yeah, I mean, it's
there's
a
weird
type
cross
of,
like, it's like it's an evolved puppet
for
I
sure
think.
And that's why
which could be why Henson was brought in, right? Like, yeah. Maybe Henson, what was that awful puppet movie that we saw like 2 years ago?
Oh, the Brian Henson one,
the
with
Brian
Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Happy Time Murders,
yes.
That should have been amazing on
should
paper,
have been outstanding, but it was atrocious. But I do think that, like, they brought Henson in because maybe Henson was already working on whatever version of the Henson company that is, was already working on something like this.
Yeah. I mean,
step that up.
We know it's an incredible company with a history of innovation. So for sure. But so, yeah, so there's like the thing with the war, all the kids go off to war for Italy. And then Pinocchio doesn't want to hurt anyone, and him and Candlewick become friends. But then the dad is like, nope, there can only be one winner.
He's
shoot
like,
him.
Shoot the puppet.
Right. And then a bomb comes and blows him up. And then everyone's all, you know.
Yeah. Just at this post-war, it is Pinocchio, right? Like, Pinocchio gets,
yeah,
Geppetto gets sucked into the whale, or in this one it's a dogfish.
Yeah.
Pinocchio goes after
him. He's
been
living there fishing in the bile.
Which I was like, I'm sure that fish tastes great.
Yeah, he and Jiminy, yeah. But you know.
Who?
Elves, yep. Sebastian.
But
is that J Cricket? I thought it was T for some reason.
No, it's J.
No, it's J.
But I will say, like, to me, the
Stimson
MVP.
Stimson J Cat.
Yeah. Ewan McGregor, man, that dude is, in my opinion, like, the most versatile actor, like, in Hollywood.
He's really good. He can do a lot.
But that's what I'm, like, he can sing. He can do the,
right?
Like, he gets how to do voice work.
I was like, oh, right? Yeah, Moulin Rouge.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that one you ever saw? I know you like Romeo and Juliet.
I love Romeo and Juliet so
but
much.
Moulin Rouge? Did you go to any other dates?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Oh, okay.
No. But
what do you think of him, like, train spotting? He hit the map.
Or I think of Fargo. Like, if you haven't seen the third season? Third season of Fargo, which is amazing.
But, you know, and he's The Shining 2.
Oh, Dr. Sleep.
Dr. Sleep.
Dr. Sleep. He's good. Now. Like, he can do.
But then he comes back and does Obi-Wan.
And he does Obi-Wan.
And
which,
it's like, this, I liked it. I totally get the, to
he
me.
He wasn't the problem, but it's
to
just
me,
that
series lives and dies on that last episode, and that when you get the showdown between Vader and Obi-Wan, and you're like, yeah,
should have made it a TV special.
It did take us a while to get there.
Like,
that
oh,
is
boy.
True. That is true.
You know what? The thing with that series, I didn't hate it, but I also was like, oh my God, this is dragging on for so little happening. But I'm like, you know what? What a world that we got this. We That's, got yeah, an Obi-Wan yeah. show starring Ewan McGregor from the 1999 Star Wars
the,
movie.
The
like,
most...
Hey, when I was a kid, all we had in between Star Wars movies were Starlog and Bantha Trash. Right.
And you got that sweet, sweet holiday special.
Yes. We have The Mandalorian, a Boba Fett show, an Obi-Wan with Ewan McGregor show. Like, I just am like, thank you that we have this. It's like, it's cool that it exists, you know.
Hey, that, like I said, that it took a while to get there, but that final showdown was insane.
Yeah.
And it was great. But that's my point, though, is like the dude can do the voice work and he knows how to do voice work.
Yeah,
it doesn't sing. Sound like an actor doing a voice.
No,
right?
I thought he was good.
He can sing. He can be dramatic. He can be mm-hmm. funny. He's deceptively funny. I think he, yeah. like
he's very versatile. I agree.
Dry. Very dry. Yeah. But then he can come back and do Obi-Wan mm-hmm. and do this action flick. So to me, he's the MVP of this entire thing. Like
he's really good.
And I think they even say in that doc, they're like Del Toro, I think, said that he had recorded, I don't know, like half of his dialogue, and Del Toro was like, he's the main character.
Yeah.
And they rewrote it. They rewrote stuff to put Sebastian into the movie more so that Ewan McGregor could do more work.
You know what you can't do really easily is cut up animations, like add things to animation.
Yeah.
That's like when Katzenberg came in and the Black Cauldron was like halfway
yeah.
made.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's like, yeah, let's just cut this 30 minutes. And they're like, it took us a what? Year to make. You can't just like at what? Like
yeah.
with animation, that's tough. Like making the bad guy and then him being like, I like Voltaire or whatever.
And Christoph Waltz is this guy now.
Yeah. Here and there, and I guess if you're working on other stuff, fine, but you can't do a ton of it.
No.
You gotta be careful with that.
Yeah.
But I think it worked out well. Whatever he decided to change up.
I think he just balance. Added more to it. Yeah. He didn't cut anything out.
He thickened it.
Yes, he yeah. gave Sebastian.
But which is hard though,
because
then they gotta animate new scenes and right. whatever he was doing before if they had to cut, you know. So but I think it was a good balance.
Was like those four scenes where Sebastian is just on Zoom.
That's right.
He's like, don't do it, Pinocchio.
No, pandemic of 1930.
Don't do it. The flu was lingering.
Yeah, it was still sticking yeah. around.
So but, they get to the dogfish. How does Pinocchio get there?
They're on. He gets like rocketed out from the war.
Okay,
and then he ends up like, you know, he gets sucked up. We see the boat. He sees his dad, and then this is the. I mean, it's Pinocchio,
right?
Okay. It's the exact same thing.
It is.
The only thing that's different is he doesn't become a real boy. The sprite just is like, cool, you're back to being a wooden boy now for the rest of your for all millennia.
Yeah.
Well, good luck. This is really interesting.
But
though,
they were
so...
kind of like, but you understand life now, and like maybe
yeah.
you kind of are a real boy, but not really.
But not really.
I mean, but in spirit.
It's a cool twist. So yeah. they get swallowed, or he gets swallowed by the dogfish, sees Geppetto. They are able to escape because he lies, which I thought was cool, and they used
isn't
his
that
nose
how the Disney
growing.
One, isn't that how the Disney one goes, does it?
I don't exactly remember, but I mean, it's a little different. Like, I mean, the way he grew his nose into a tree and
I will
climbed
say this
over
one
it.
Is, this nose is not as phallic as the Disney yeah. version.
But it grows into like tree branches and they're climbing it out and then they eventually are able to escape it. But from the war, there's all these bombs set up around yeah. the water and they are trying to escape the dogfish. It swallows one.
You know, they Jaws it. This is the ending of Jaws.
Yeah?
Yeah, of course. The Jaws has the thing in his mouth. And,
yeah.
That's
and,
true, yeah.
And Brody shoots the thing yeah. and blows him up. It's the same ending.
So Pinocchio goes up and smacks the mine or whatever, the circle with the
it's
bombs.
A mine.
You know
right.
what?
Yeah.
yeah. So he smacks it. They explode. But then Geppetto goes underwater. Pinocchio, quote unquote, dies and goes to the little purgatory area. And like Tom said, the hourglass is getting longer and he can't get back soon enough to save Geppetto, who's drowning.
Right.
And the sprite says, well, you can go back, but if you do, that's the last time. You're going to be mortal, and he's learned his lesson, and this is the growth of the character, and he's become a good person, and he cares about Geppetto and sees him as the father and all that. So he's like, I don't care, send me back. And so he goes back, saves Geppetto, but he drowns in the process.
Right.
And then at this point
the second sprite shows back up, and Jiminy, god
dang it.
Sebastian was like, you know, he taught me this and he taught me that. And maybe, all right, so I taught him that first, but then he taught me that.
If he was to be the conscience, basically, as we know from the first one, if he's to teach him right from wrong, turn him into a good boy, he gets one wish, whatever he wants. And so he's like, I get that wish. And she's like, did you really teach him anything? He's like, I don't know, but he's good. And that's all that matters.
He got here.
He did the best, and that's all you can
do. That's all you can do. And he says, I wish him to be alive. And she said, okie dokie.
Yeah.
And then everybody else around Pinocchio dies.
So it's a different twist on it. He gave him back to immortality.
As when Geppetto dies, I was like, oh. Like
when the graves pop up, one and two and then three.
Like, this might be the second most Del Toro thing in this entire movie. The first one obviously being like the creature designs.
Yeah.
But the like sort of happy ending, but
they got to live
kicking the ending at the same time.
But he got to live with all, you know, Geppetto lived his life out into old age, which, like, Geppetto got older. I'm like, that Geppetto was old.
Yeah, I mean, he was pretty old to start with.
Old dude.
But apparently he got older.
Which
and
means
then,
he lasted about 6 months.
Yeah, right. I don't know. But the monkey dies, or Jiminy dies, and then you see the monkey. Yeah, damn it. Sebastian J. Cricket dies.
We'll have a Jiminy jar, like a swear jar.
Right, we do, right? It's hard not to because, that's what I mean is that the 1942 or whatever Pinocchio, 1940 maybe, it's so ingrained into our culture. I mean, you're talking about we're now 80 years removed, 80 plus years, 80.
Oh, yeah.
80. That is a long
time.
But
I mean, like,
that's
the thing about those Disney characters, right? Is it's almost impossible to get any sort of different version because Disney did such a pretty fantastic job of integrating those characters into our.
They are.
But we've gotten lots of different versions.
Like what?
There was a TV musical version with Mickey Rooney.
No,
there's a Rankin Bass version.
But how?
From
okay, 1960. Okay,
but no one knows them. Though.
But
Disney has stood the test of time.
But the tradition. Like if I say Pinocchio,
everyone thinks
we think
Disney.
Of the Disney.
But I'm just
version.
Saying, people have remade this a lot.
Yeah, and
I guess
he is
a major character in Shrek.
Yeah,
but what you're saying though, when you think of Little Mermaid, like that's a hundreds of year old Hans Christian Andersen fairy tale. It's not Disney's I mean, that's their version of it, but no one thinks that. It's Little Mermaid is Disney.
Yeah,
everyone goes to the Disney.
Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, Snow
all
White,
of them,
all of them.
And they're all fairy tales from before. And so you're right. Disney has done such an amazing job that it's hard not to think of that. But now when they say Pinocchio, I'm telling you, this one's going to stick around in my mind. I'll always know the Disney Pinocchio, but this, where the other ones haven't even been a challenger. Like, this is a challenger to stand out as...
It's definitely... And it's... We jokingly said that it's kind of the Jungle Book thing where... Who did that other one? Was it...
Circus.
Was it Andy Circus that did that?
Yeah.
And it was real bad because the other one was so good, right?
Was it Favreau?
It was Favreau. Yeah. Favreau. And it was like, that was the one where like, hey man, you guys, if you're going to keep making them like this, you remake all them movies. You remake every single one of those animated movies and we're in.
But that Circus Jungle Book was not. And
it
like,
was
that was so
real bad.
It was so different. I know they were probably taking more from the book, but whatever story they were telling was lying.
But to me, this one is flipped where Disney remade their Pinocchio and it wasn't. Like that
they're doing their
that didn't even get talked about. Like
that
it was
came
here
and went
gone
so fast. Well, and that's the thing. Like I'm a huge Disney person. I know Tom's a Disney person. Did you watch it?
Which
Pinocchio?
What? No,
I didn't
with
watch
Tom
either.
Hanks.
We're
like
both,
Tom Hanks
we're both
as
Disney
Geppetto.
People, and we're just like, what?
There's so much to watch.
That's also true.
Yeah,
but it's weird that Disney would come out with a remake like Disney of a huge beloved character. But I mean. Yeah, I mean,
not
I'll watch it someday, but...
I don't think that went to theaters.
No, it was
straight to Disney+. Plus.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is it's just, it's crazy that we're at the point in time where Disney's making so much stuff where you can bury the remake of a great animated thing. But you're right, like this, they flipped it, and now Del Toro, I mean, certainly from what I've heard, I haven't seen the remake like we said, but this version, from all accounts, is far superior.
And this is what I will say, is it is absolutely worth your time to watch this. Just for
the look
and just watching everything move and watching.
I think it's a sweet moving story though. Like I don't think it's not worth it for the story, but
I think the story is to me like second nature.
Yeah.
I don't need like looking at the way that they made this. I think the making of Doc
it's like
is
an
Yngwie
Malmsteen record.
I'll,
he's a great technical player, but there's not a lot of melody.
I heard the words that you were saying,
yeah,
but I don't know what any of them mean.
So anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. You can follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online, Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And of course, don't forget our Patreon, Patreon.com/Real Spoilers. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Bambi's mother gets shot. For a spoiler, won't say it twice, 'cause we already warned ya. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.